and all of the board members are present.
Except for Nina.
Except for Nina, that's why I kept thinking she would, okay.
She's out of town.
And Nina's out of town, I know that. I'm gonna do the consent items next, it's on the calendar, and you have to be a little patient because there's a string of them. Number three is approval of minutes for April. Four is approval of minutes for May. Five is acceptance of the incident activity report for April. Six is acceptance of the incident activity report for May. Approval of the monthly AP voucher transmittal. Number seven, number eight is approval of monthly financial report. Nine is approval of resolution 1602 establishing the appropriations limit for the fiscal year of 16 and 17. 10 is approval of resolution 1603 authorizing the county to place the district's special tax on the tax roll and collect the special tax. 11, approval of resolution 1604 ordering even year board director's election, consolidation of election specifications. I don't know what that is, Brenda, but it's probably self-explanatory. And then the last one is proposed revision of the policy handbook, section 1050. We are going to post the recordings of the minutes, recording of the minutes on our website.
I move the adoption of the consent calendar consisting of items 3 through 12 on our agenda.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Consent calendar is approved. Now, oral communications, that is a time, place for comments, not otherwise on the agenda. Yes?
Okay. I would like to talk about the Finance Committee meeting minutes of January 27th. In the fourth paragraph, which is mid-year budget versus actual. Okay, when you go to the second line, it says, Costello noted that the police district has not paid the $1 in the last 7 months. Now, we had a discussion about that a while ago, and I offered to pay the $1. I checked with the police district, and they said that check was issued. Even if the check was not issued, I think it's a very offensive line to put that in there. The second, that sentence following that is, which talks about the legal fees, and it says that the fire district spent $881 on legal fees versus a budget of $50,000. The police spent more than $200,000. Now, what you're doing, you're assuming that these two things are equal, and they clearly are not. I mean, this is the largest audience, everybody's looking around people, this is the largest audience I've ever seen here. My question is, if you would have had a meeting like the police district had in June a couple of years ago, where you had 100 people who, and a lot of people were not rational that night, and ultimately filed a lawsuit, you would not be sitting on $881 in legal fees. The other thing that this does is, you say, look at us and look at them. My view is that you chose to run for the board, or somebody twisted your arm to run for the board. And you are there to serve this community. You're not supposed to be there to say, this is what the police does and this is what we do. That sounds like high school to me. And when I read that, I thought it was very offensive. You know, when you keep clapping yourself on the back and doing all of that, ultimately your arm is going to hurt or your back is going to hurt. I think it's very offensive to have that in there.
Okay, I take that comment, and probably we should leave those other kind of comments out of the minutes. So okay. I think I've agreed with you with that. Okay?
I have a couple more things when we get to financials that I would like. I would somewhat like someone explained the fixed assets to me. I talked about it the last time, and I would just like to understand all of the things. I would like to know where the new fire engine is and where the old one is, and I just want to understand it. I'm not challenging what's in there. I just want to have an understanding what that is.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be done, no. Someone can explain that to me.
Find that. Can you answer that? I mean,
do you want to answer it now, or when we go over the budget, or what?
Or is it later on? Okay, we'll get to it then when we get to that part.
It's on the agenda.
Yeah, it's on the agenda. I wasn't okay. Any other comments?
That was a question. Is it on the agenda?
Yeah, it is on the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm Vanessa Cordova. I'm here as a resident today to express my thanks to Ms. Navalier and Inspector Vaughn, who made a house call to our block off of the Coventry corridor to ensure that a construction project that we worry might be encroaching on the right of way and therefore blocking access by emergency vehicles was copacetic, and that visit was very prompt and very helpful to us as well as the Public Works Department. So thank you again for helping us out with that.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Dave Spath, and I'm here in the capacity of the chair of the Ad Hoc Committee on the Governance and Operations Structure. And as you know, we held a public forum this Saturday in regard to several issues that the KPPCSD board has asked us to look at, one of which is consolidation with the fire district. And I know you've had some conversations with the lead of the subcommittee that's looking into that, regardless. And the committee has asked me to invite you, if you will, to a meeting of the committee and the board, if you would be willing to accept that, where we could understand in more detail your issues with regard to consolidation, possibly in a public forum, which I think would be useful, and certainly our committee would appreciate. I presume it would have to be a special meeting on your part to meet the Brown Act requirements, but it is an invitation that we would like to extend to you. We could certainly arrange a time that is suitable for you to meet, but I think it would be very useful for our full committee to sit down and listen to your issues. Because as you know, we have presented our preliminary findings. We're working towards completing a draft final report. We would like to have it to the board probably early December, late August. And it would be useful for us to hear from you prior to that. So anyways, the invitation.
What's your calendar on this?
Our calendar is your calendar.
Right? Okay. Well, I mean, so the comment, we can't actually sit here and talk about it and decide to do it or not. So we probably would put it on the July agenda,
sure.
And then we can talk about it. And then maybe you and I could talk just to see what sort of schedule or agenda you might have for that meeting.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
As I said, if you want to have a special meeting for it, that's up to you. It's quite possible that I could get the committee together for one of your meetings.
Yeah. Okay, so we agreed to discuss it at the July meeting.
Okay.
Okay, so.
That'd be fine. And
thank you.
I'll make sure I'm here at the July meeting as well.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Could I respond, Don?
Yes.
You know, I'm appalled that your committee's been meeting for over a year, and now that you've done your presentation to the public, you're coming to us for the first time to seek our input. So, in all candor, I don't believe in your sincerity, that you're really interested in our input and in having an honest, open dialogue. I think it's kind of a cynical charade because of the criticism that I've heard that we haven't been involved in the process in the past year. So I'm not sure what all this is about.
Well, I appreciate your opinion on that and your comment. I will say begin with, that your minutes of April show that our subcommittee lead came to the board, provided you with some questions, and I don't know the detail of it. So it's not accurate for you to say that we did not engage with you. Rick did, and it's in your minutes, as you stated. So at the same time, I think it would be useful, as I said, for the full committee to meet with the board.
We're doing exactly what we're not supposed to do. In other words, let's put it on the agenda, and then we'll discuss it. And Janice can reiterate her feelings about it.
I thank you very much, but I do not appreciate the comments that Director Cassell has stated, because they are inaccurate. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thanks. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to move on. To the Chief's report.
Good evening, everybody. Go Warriors, because I know they were 20 down when we walked in here. So
really go Warriors.
Yeah, really go Warriors. I have short Chief's report tonight due to the fact that we have a full agenda, so I'll buzz right through it. You see that our weed abatement program is in full stream, as it is every time this year. You'll see towards the bottom of that paragraph, we issued 65 notices this year. That is up 4 notices from last year, which is less than I would have expected with the drought coming to an end in a plentiful rainy season. Although it's 65 notices, I would have probably expected more like 75. So it does show that our public education process is working year after year. People are getting more used to the inspections, and they're trimming their yards in a timely fashion. They have in between now and July 12th to get their lots and properties cleared, and then the fire prevention officer will do a final reinspection and start the abatement for anyone that hasn't started. Second on my report is I'm happy to report that we've started backgrounds on 2 entry-level firefighter paramedic positions. Those will replace our 2 retirements from this year. It's always time-consuming to find the right person and get through the process, and so they're in background now, and so we'll keep our fingers crossed that the backgrounds don't turn anything up. I'm not in the written report there. One thing I did want to mention is over the Memorial Day weekend, the Caro Radio Group once again were our eyes and ears within the community on the Canyon Rim and kept their eyes out for suspicious fires or smokes or anything that should be called in. There was nothing to report this year, but they were our fire patrol for the Ridgeline and extra set of eyes and ears. So Caro always really comes through on the holiday weekends. So we thank them for that. And that's all I have until we get to the budget presentation.
Did we send anybody to Henry Coe?
No one's been sent out yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have no out-of-county responses thus far.
Chief, can you explain how the response time works when someone from Kensington calls Richmond Dispatch? Does it get in a line behind everybody else from Richmond? Or you thought there used to be like a separate Kensington operator that calls got transferred to?
No, the way the dispatch system works is it's considered a PSAP, which is a public safety answering point. Some people call it a public safety access point. Specifically for our jurisdictions, El Cerrito and Kensington, they have call takers at the dispatch center that take the call and then then route it to the dispatch console directly in the dispatch center. So there's a fire and EMS console, and then there's a police console. There's a police console that does just Richmond, and then there's one that does El Cerrito, Kensington, and San Pablo. So when the call comes in through the 911 center in the city of Richmond, if they say police or fire, they say police, they transfer the call to the console for police, or they transfer the call to the console for fire EMS. It's a single site where the call comes in and the transfer takes place directly in the building.
Okay. President's report. It is time for Brenda's annual review, and I got comments from the board and Lance, and they were all very strongly complimentary, not a sour note or anything. And I think it's pretty much what I saw before. I've been gone for a while, I'm back. I think you're really well organized and follow through and a pleasure to work with, for, or with, and I think you make our job a little bit easier. So we're pleased.
A lot easier, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Chief, I really like the new engine. I'm really pleased that we have that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, that it probably could have been a little more exciting.
Oh, boy.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, it could. Well, if we were in San Jose, maybe.
Yeah.
Or if Kensington gets a hockey team. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Sharks engine.
It's a San Jose Fire.
Very cute.
I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah. That is fun.
Okay. New business, El Cerrito contract fee proposal, and Janice, I'm assuming you're going to say something about that?
Yeah. Do you want to talk first? Yeah,
no, I'll
talk first.
I'll
how do you
go.
Want to do it?
I'll let you.
Okay, the Finance Committee met, I think, a week ago, and we met with the city manager and with our fire chief, and they explained their contract proposal, which is in the packet here. And one thing I'd like to direct your attention to is our 20-year summary of the contract with El Cerrito, which is just before the next light blue page. So it's this page I'm looking at, El Cerrito contract comparison beginning with fiscal year 6/30/1996 through 2017. And what this shows is that the last year we had almost a 2% decrease in the annual contract fee. This year they're asking for 7.74% increase. So we're looking at, averaged over those 2 years, about a 3% increase in the annual contract fee. We are well pleased with the service that El Cerrito provides. If you look at our website, what we have is a comparison of what it costs to run two station and three station fire departments in the Bay Area. And it shows that the Kensington Fire District is the most cost effective single station district in the Bay Area. So we also talked about the response from our constituents. One member of your ad hoc committee, Mr. Spaeth, asked for 10 years worth of comments and correspondence with the public, all of which was completely favorable, not a single criticism or complaint, simply appreciation and congratulations on a job well done. The El Cerrito City Manager also talked to us about the financial stability of El Cerrito and what he expected to be happening financially with El Cerrito, and we talked with him about our finances and also about the possibility of the ad hoc committee recommending the dissolution of our district. So we had an open and honest exchange of information, and following that, Don and I decided that we would recommend the El Cerrito contract fee proposal to the board for adoption tonight.
Discussion?
So I have a couple of things I'd like to point out. If you see in the presentation there, you'll see the narrative in regards to the fire department as a whole as one department. It talks about a department overview, and it talks about the divisions within the department. So I won't read that to you, but it's for the public. It'll be on the website if you're interested in seeing how the department's broken up, where the staff are, and where the personnel are. You'll see a section that talks about our accomplishments from grant writing to mutual aid response throughout the state. And you'll see a section that applies to our strategic plan and how we meet the needs of the public. As you peruse through there, you'll see the section that I'm truly most proud of, and that's where you see our training hours, our fire prevention activities, certificates held, and educational contacts. And you'll see throughout the year, we spend an enormous amount of time training, being out in the public for fire prevention activities, and contacting the public for public education. And it's our numbers continue to point in the right direction, and we don't see reductions in any of those directions. When it comes specifically to the fee this year, the proposed contract fee, two key items I'll point out that are the drivers behind it. The salary line on the fee scale is moving 4.5% due to a raise of this, effective this July 1st for the men and women of the fire department. That's one driver. And the second main driver is the PERS contribution is increasing 7.5%. Should be noted at this point in time, effective July 1st, the employees will now be paying, they'll pay another 1.5% this July 1st into PERS, and that puts them at a total of 12%, which is 3% over the employee contribution that is required. So it's one of the things that I always like to bring up, that the men and women of the fire department during this hard economic downturn have stepped forward. In 2008, they didn't pay any of their PERS, and now they're paying 12% of their PERS. So it's been a remarkable swing. Those are the two key driving factors that bring in your amount, your fee this year. A couple numbers that move, some that are more to the effect of hiring new folks and truing up accounts, is our training and travel count. We increased $5,000 based on some new technical rescue training and the requirements to train some new people that we're bringing on. And medical supplies, which are the supplies we use to run responses to upgrade some of our equipment. And then uniform and uniform supplies are the turnout equipment and the safety gear that we use for the new hires. And each person we hire, it costs about $3,000 to outfit them in the protective equipment. So that those accounts all raised by $5,000. So that gives you a reconciled contract fee account amount of 2.499805.7. Like Janice said, that's a 7.4% increase from last year. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Yeah, you might note that many years ago, I'm thinking 15, 16 years ago, we agreed to the respective percentages that you see here on this budget number, so that we're paying 27.75% of the El Cerrito Fire Department's personnel costs, although we have one-third of the stations, and probably 95%, I think, of the total costs of this contract are personnel related. So that's where we get a real break, when we're paying only 27.75% rather than 33.3%.
Okay. I do not understand why we are using a California CPI versus a Bay Area CPI, because that is clearly not a very good CPI to use when you're in the Bay Area. When I look at the district paying $953,000 21 years ago, or 20 years ago, and then the 21st year, we will pay $2,552,000. It's 268%. We live during times where inflation is 3%, give or take, someplace along the line. And wages and benefits are along the 3%. Now, I know that PERS is an issue, but we also have very favorable gasoline rates. We have had tremendously favorable the last year. My assumption is that gasoline is one of our larger expenses after personnel. I know you're going to tell me that's what the contract says, but either you or previous board agreed to that contract. No, you know that I heard one director saying we got a good deal. I think we've been on the short end of the stick for a long time. When we pay $693 per residential unit, and El Cerrito pays $244 a year, and we're still 40-some seconds slower than what the response in El Cerrito is. I do not understand how we can support this. The police district talked about giving the officers 3% and taking back the equal amount with their co-payment. They had 9 meetings talking about it. There were a number of people who objected to the 3% or even a level contract. You are willing to pay 7.74, and I just cannot believe that. Well, I may not be the only one who objects to it. I just think we are getting a bad deal from El Cerrito. We have been getting a bad deal from El Cerrito for a long time when it comes to fire service. We continue to get a bad deal to that. And I will speak up on that until the day that it's going to be changed, so I'm gone. I cannot believe that you would vote for that.
I have only one comment, Don. There's no inflation factor in the contract.
I didn't understand that.
There's no inflation.
No inflation factor in the contract.
Well, you don't call it an inflation factor, but if you use the 5.37 that's in there, that is your inflation factor.
What 5.37 are you referring to?
You're talking about the per capita income, the CPI, the first line on this sheet. It's the same as the inflation factor. There's no difference in that. That's what you're using. You're saying California per capita personal income. 5.37, that's what you're using.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the sheet that says calculation for application of limits.
That's the appropriation limit. It's got nothing to do with the El Cerrito contract. That was part of the consent calendar. It was item number 9 on the consent calendar. It's got not. It's has nothing to do with item number 15.
Then I didn't understand it, and I would have spoken to 9. Anyway, my point is still the same. We have inflation of 3%. We have wages and benefits going up 3%. We have favorable gasoline prices, we have an issue with PERS, and we are getting 7.75% El Cerrito.
No comments. I mean, I
can't speak to it.
I think we're not agreeing with you, but we're not going to argue. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, a few questions. I'm just curious how you derived the 27.75%. The reason I'm asking is, the ad hoc committee is also looking at contracting out, and one of the communities is El Cerrito. And so this actually would be a good example, possibly, to look at. So my questions are more related to that. So starting out with, could you sort of explain?
Janice was there at that moment. She's the only one.
Almost 20 years ago. What we talked about, is the contract is a win-win for both El Cerrito and Kensington. A significant number of our responses from Kensington go into El Cerrito, both before we entered the contract and after, so that there's no difference in our responses into El Cerrito before or after contract formation, given our, what do you call it? It's not mutual aid. It's called automatic aid. So that with or without the contract, approximately one half of the responses of our engine would be into El Cerrito. That the 27.75% then recognizes that El Cerrito benefits significantly from the Kensington Fire Station. And our residents benefit significantly from the Kensington Fire Station because we're all within less than a mile of the station.
Right, but I mean, that's an interesting explanation, but it doesn't really get to how the 27.75 is derived.
It was how much we could chisel down from 33.33. Yeah. And that was as low as El Cerrito was willing to go.
The city originally wanted 33%.
And we got 27.75. Based on
33% of the personnel.
Well, but right now you have 9 personnel here in Kensington, correct?
Correct.
And a battalion chief that's on duty.
Well, that was my next question. Yeah, you have 37 authorized positions.
Correct.
And I'm presuming they're not all filled because you have salary savings.
Yes, correct.
So you don't fill them all. And I'm assuming also that you spread the costs over the battalion chiefs as well, a certain percentage of that. Do you also spread the cost over the chief as well?
Correct.
Okay, correct. So. There are 3 total stations he operates. Each is staffed by 3 firefighters around the clock.
Right. No,
we have 1/3 of the personnel and 1/3 of the administrators that the chief also has.
Right. So now I'm getting a clearer picture. So in essence, if you were just using 9 over the authorized positions, that would not be 33% by any means.
Correct.
And so you are factoring in a spread, if you will, on the battalion chiefs, which I believe there are 4.
Well, fire prevention officers, yeah, training officers, correct.
Right. So, okay, so that gives me a sense of that. Just on salaries, I know, Chief, last year you said that your firemen decided to forego the salary raise that was in their MOU?
No, they did not last year. It was the year before.
The year before.
Yeah, yeah.
They've done it twice, I think.
Yeah, over the years they've done.
No, but I mean on the last MOU, I guess.
In the last fiscal year, they got a 4.5 and paid 1.5 towards PERS.
So, but it's part of the MOU that started in 2014, ends in end of 2017, I believe.
Started in 2006. It was a side letter was drawn to the MOU.
All right.
During the economic times, side letters were drawn to the MOU.
It's semantics, you know, on my part. This last sideline was a 3-year.
Correct.
And that amounted to a 12% PERS payback and a 17%, roughly 17% salary raise for the firemen, I believe. And as part of that, I think what you said, that one of those years...
14. It was a 14% raise.
And one of those years they decided not that they would not take that...
The first year of that.
First year. Yeah. So do you expect it? Was that made part of another side bar agreement? Or
that was at the original beginning of the MOU when they renegotiated and did a side letter.
So do you expect that they will ask to recover that? Or they just permanently accepted that?
They permanently accepted that, and the contract expires. This is the last raise of the contract, and the contract expires.
Okay.
Yeah.
We do get a break on retained salary savings for positions that you hold vacant.
Correct.
And none of those positions are within the Kensington fire staff, correct?
No, the salary savings is made up of 3 firefighter positions and a clerical position. Those positions are above our minimum staffing. So the only time we would use those if someone was on vacation, workers' comp, sick leave, or away at training. So by leaving those base positions vacant, we have the salary savings, and then we hire overtime whenever we need those spots.
Right, so
the overtime is cheaper than filling the positions, because overtime we're paying 1.5,
right,
and benefits exceed 50% of the
right,
workers'
you're
wages.
Right, benefits and are you paying the PERS?
Correct.
Well, I recognize that. So, okay, That answers my questions, and I think, as I said, it's useful as we are looking at the contracting outside of things with regard to the ad hoc committee. So thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm sure that you have checked around on other outsourcing, but we do think we're getting a really fair agreement. We don't...
Well, let me just say that, speak to that. First of all, we don't make recommendations. I think Director Purcell suggested that we recommend a dissolution. That's not accurate, because we're not making recommendations, we're just making pros and cons and findings. That's the first point. And secondly, we aren't authorized to seek requests for proposals by any contracting agency on the police side. So we wouldn't have any detail like you have here. That's why this is useful, at least as an indication of how a contract might look with another jurisdiction. And thank you again.
Okay, thank you. Any other?
Thanks for your question.
I'd just like to clarify a comment that I heard Dave make. I think some people have this misconception, because you recall I came to the last meeting where you're talking finances, and I had a similar question to what you had, Dave, which was, how did you arrive at this 27.75%? And I heard Dave mention that we have 9 officers here in Kensington, but that's not true, because we have 24/7, we have 3 officers at any given time. So 2 days equals 48 hours. That's more than a normal work week. We actually technically, and maybe the chief could correct me if I'm wrong on this, and together with the need to have vacation coverage, that sort of thing, we technically have something closer to about 12 officers, do we not, Chief?
Well, in essence, it takes that level of coverage,
right,
to have that many people, because you have to have the surge capacity,
right,
of vacation, sick leave, workers'
right,
comp.
Right.
Instead of hiring those positions currently, we do that with overtime.
Correct.
because it's more effective.
Right.
So it's not literally 12 different people, but it's the equivalent of 12 people's normal work week. Yeah.
And yet there are 33 firefighters, counting the chief and the full complement, right?
Correct.
So we're technically about a third of the force is here in Kensington.
Correct.
Not in the state.
It's.
Which is why El Cerrito wanted 33.33%.
Yeah. Trying to do the numbers. That's all.
Gotcha. Just try negotiating something with Janice, and then you'll understand.
I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think we get about 24% of the calls. I think the chief gave out that information maybe a year ago, and I cannot put my hands on it right now.
If you look in the packet today, you'll see that approximately half of the calls, we average about one call per day into Kensington, and slightly less than one call per day outside of Kensington on our engine. You'll see it in the packet, and if you look at, it's the incident activity report, it's consent calendar, items number 5 and 6 show
that
to where our...
That wasn't the question I had.
All right, okay.
The question, out of the three stations total, because we act as if we were one unit, the three stations, right?
In which?
Okay. If I remember right, we had about 24% of the calls out of the three stations.
I'm going to have to do this off the top of my head. We average, we'll do it loosely, we average 3,000 calls as an organization a year. I want to say in 2014, and this is off the top of my head, on the record, Kensington had 608 calls for Engine 65. And Engine 72,
25%.
Engine 72, I'm trying to give you the global overview so the audience can hear it. And the Engine 72, I think had 524, 528, but this is just off the top of my head.
It's on Arlington. That's the one on Arlington.
The remainders of the calls were all at Station 71 downtown.
Okay. The station on San Pablo.
Okay, I'm going to move on. Auditor recommendation and fee proposal for fiscal year 15-16.
I'm going to move the adoption of the El Cerrito contract fee proposal for fiscal year 2016-2017.
Did we do that? No,
we did
not. No, we had discussion. We haven't taken formal action.
Okay, that's fine.
My motion needs a second.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Okay, number 17, contract with Ross Grulis.
No, Kuden. 16.
16.
Six, no.
Is our retention of our auditor.
Oh, the auditor, yes.
We just finished 15.
Oh, we just finished 15. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You'll see a contract proposal here from La Morena and Chang, who is our current auditor. And they're making a proposal to be engaged by us for the next fiscal year audit, for the 25-15-16 audit, at the same fee as the previous year, namely $13,000. 3 or 4 years ago, we had our accountant and our administrator solicit proposals and also audit reports from, I think it was 6 different auditors. And the Finance Committee reviewed those, and we strongly preferred La Morena and Chang, because if you look at our audit report, it tends to be the most user-friendly of any of the audit reports that we looked at. And very few audit reports are, quote, user-friendly. It's a relative term. But we thought that members of the community in Kensington would find the information more readily accessible in La Morena and Chang's presentation. And that is why we are recommending the engagement of La Morena and Chang once again.
Okay.
So I would move that we accept the auditor recommendation for La Morena and Chang for fiscal year 2015-2016 as proposed in their letter that is their letter of engagement that's part of our packet.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Now we're to 17, Don. This is now you. This is what you've been waiting for. Yeah, you're on.
We interviewed two architectural firms, about 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
And the firm of Ross Grulis Kusenberry was selected. Their presentation was really dynamite, I think, and we had really good sense that they saw the challenge in what we need to do with the fire facility. And we have a contract to approve. It's for $104,000. In addition to their costs, there's a civil engineer, a structural engineer, electrical and mechanical, and they'll be looking at existing conditions and as part of a needs and assessment work. And then the architects will be doing some design schemes beyond that. Questions?
I just have one comment. One, how lucky we are that you're on our board again. I don't know if all of you know that Don is, by profession, an architect who designs fire stations. And without Don on our board, boy, would we be struggling with the difficulties in our present building. We are so fortunate to have you, and I thank you for your service. And the other thing I'd like to note is page 11 of the proposed, I'm sorry, it's not 11, it's page 12. Of the proposal gives the timeline here of when this needs assessment. And I was delighted to see towards the bottom there on line 35 that they were hoping to have completed the needs assessment by the end of September.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for expediting this project, and thank you for your leadership on this.
And as we've said before, we will be looking at programmatic needs of the service district as well, and the space they have, as well as our own. Okay?
Okay, I would move that we approve the contract with Ross Drullis Quisenberry for architectural master planning services in the amount of $104,000 as stated in their letter of engagement.
There's a question.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't see your hand, or I wouldn't have gone ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
I just like to know exactly what this study is going to look at. From just looking at the what it is that they submitted and not having been in that meeting that you referred to, what is it that these people are going to do? Let me give you my take on what it sounds like. They are going to study, I think you had three different options there. Am I correct?
Let me try to do it, because maybe I can make a simpler statement. They're going to look at the existing building, and they're going to document basically the condition of the building. You know, we had a structural engineer look at it earlier. They have an engineer that will probably even add and try to define the deficiencies in the structure part of it. And they're also going to look at the functional aspects for both of the agencies. And that would mean that they will interview chief and our chief and staff, and they will come up with a program for a modern fire station and community service police. You know, the kind of spaces, the kind of functioning, so forth. They're going to comment on the size of the building. We have 5,800 square feet. Typically, that would be a small fire station, you know, all of it put together for a single engine company. So they'll bring the deficiencies forward, building condition, deficiencies in operations and function. And then from there, we'll move into some schemes. And obviously, there'll be a scheme on trying to fit all this added program onto that site. If we were to replace it.
Well, looking at these costs.
Yes.
The largest component of those costs is the conceptual study options.
Yes.
So, what I saw in the meeting before that you were going to be asking these architectural firms, I guess that's what you call these, to look at, was different options of trying to restore the existing building up to some standard, tearing it down, replacing it, possibly acquiring the adjacent land in which to accomplish this, and maybe even moving off-site to another location.
Jim,
any of that get studied?
Yeah, if you look on page 10, it gives conceptual study options, and then it lists option one, option two, option three. If you have the document in front of you. That's where it talks about this.
I don't have my page 10.
That makes it harder, doesn't it?
Got page 10 for you, Jim.
Yeah.
But yes, you're correct. Those are the options.
I was not going to nail down the three options because they may come up with something that's a little different than you know, we have something we're starting with, but it may end up being something different in the end.
So, Dave, when the study that you will get, what will it actually tell you? Or what do you hope it will tell you?
Well, let's just say we do three options. We do a program, so you can see what a modern facility needs in terms of rooms and space. So you can measure that against the existing facility, and I think it will show you that we're deficient. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing it'll do. Also, again, it'll tell us the condition of the building, and including mechanical, electrical, and some other things we haven't really looked at. And then we'll do some options, and the construction manager that I think you probably have met, their firm will do cost estimates. So we'll have a cost estimate for whatever we're proposing to do.
Well, for several different possibilities.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Okay.
So I think it'll be a pretty good statement of where we are and hopefully, you know, where we ought to be going.
Okay, I think I've made a motion, Don.
We got a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor of contract with Ross Drulis Kuzenberg?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, passes. 18, Resolution 1605, adopting preliminary revenue, operating expense, and capital improvement budget for fiscal year 1617. Dennis, are you going to talk about that?
Yeah. Okay, this is the budget that the Finance Committee worked out a week ago, and this is what I'm looking at if you'd like to follow along with me. I'm looking at our fiscal year. Column number 3 is fiscal year 2016-2017 budget, and occasionally I will also be making reference to the fourth column there, our planning budget for 2017-2018. If we look initially at the revenue portion of the budget, what I'd like you to look at is five lines down, the interest income, which this year is $1 from the Community Services District. We've slotted it in as zero for fiscal year 2017-2018 for two reasons. One, our lease with the Community Services District expires June 30th, 2017, and it's unlikely that we would be able to renew a lease of the facilities with them at $1. If you look at the third page of what you have here, or the fourth page, I'm sorry, the savings schedule for building improvements, we did a study over 20 years of the maintenance expenses of the public safety building, and in 2012-2013, we determined that it was costing us approximately $100,000 a year to remain in that building, cost-wise. And the Community Services District occupies approximately 50% of the space, so their fair contribution to occupancy of the building would be $50,000 a year. Because the president of the Community Services District came to us and said that they had temporary financial difficulties 2 years ago, they asked for a short period of time within which to resolve their financial difficulties. So we gave them a 3-year lease at $1 a year, or the majority of the board decided to do that. As you can see, that is approximately 2% of our annual revenue to forgive their contribution to costs. It's unlikely, given the costs, that we're going to know better when we get the architectural report at the end of September, but it's unlikely we're going to be able to continue that 1-year figure. And it may be unlikely that the Community Services District or the Fire District can continue to occupy the building in fiscal year 2017-2018, depending on what the recommendation of that report is. hence the number zero in that column. It's an unknown number until we get the report the end of September. Now, if you go back to that third column, you'll see fiscal year 2016-2017. Our budgeted revenue is $3.8 million. If you look at page two, you'll see that we anticipate total operating expenses a little over $3 million and capital costs of about $150,000. So we're contemplating total expenditures of $3.15 million, revenue of $3.8 million. So we're hoping to generate $700,000 in additional revenue this year, which we intend to contribute towards the cost of renovation or construction of a new building. If you look again at page four, which shows the schedule for the building, we have been contributing $100,000 to reserves for the building with an inflation factor until 2015-2016, when we increased that amount when it became clear that $100,000 was not going to be sufficient. In 16-17, this coming fiscal year, we're adding $864,000, which is the surplus from this year we're going to be contributing, and that will give us at the end of the coming fiscal year $1.6 million towards construction or renovation of the existing building. And although this board has not made a formal decision, presumably the excess revenue from this fiscal year will also be kicked into that building fund. So hopefully at the end of the current fiscal year, we'll have close to $2.5 million towards construction and or renovation of the new building, which Don tells me is probably a drop in the bucket.
No,
it's a big chunk, but yeah, it's certainly yeah, not all of it. Yeah. So we're looking into financing options.
We've been asked how much it's going to cost, yeah, but I think you understand that we're not quite sure yeah, where we're going to end up. So
yeah, but anyway, we're trying to front load that building fund so that options are available to us. Now, if you go back to the first page of our revenue budget, I'd like to direct your attention now to our expenses. If you look at the third line, there is the audit line, which is the $13,000 that we just approved for La Morena and Chang for their annual engagement. Drop down to the next line is the El Cerrito contract. That's the item that we approved a couple minutes ago, the fee proposal that the chief just discussed. Drop down four more lines and you'll see legal fees. We generally budget $30,000. We rarely come even close to that. You'll see that our legal fees to date for fiscal year 2015-2016 are $4,000. If you drop down one more line, you'll see water system improvements. Historically, in the last 20 years, that's been a big budget item for us because we've been improving the water system. We've been connecting dead ends. We've been putting in new hydrants so that we have more optimum hydrant spacing. And as a result, we've gotten a considerably enhanced insurance rating, considerably improved insurance rating, so that almost all of the money we've spent on water system improvements, our residents are getting back by way of cheaper homeowners insurance premiums as a result of what we've done on water system improvements. Hopefully, the lion's share of that work is done. Every year, we slot in $20,000 minimum on water system improvements, and what that $20,000 figure is two hydrants, and that's because East Bay Mud historically opens up the streets all the time. You saw them right here on the Arlington today, and that $20,000 gives the chief discretion that when East Bay Mud is opening up the streets, if the chief thinks it's appropriate to place a hydrant there, he can place a hydrant there without board approval because they generally cost about $10,000. So that gives him two discretionary hydrants a year without consulting the board that we get significantly on the cheap because we're not paying East Bay Mud to open up the ground. We're just sliding in the hydrant when the ground is already open if the chief deems that appropriate. So that's the reason for the $20,000 water system program. If you drop down now to community service activities, You'll see item two is the community pharmaceutical drop-off. We've budgeted that twice a year, and the fire district pays 100% of the cost. If you look at the two more lines down are the CERT kits and sheds. We've slotted in $30,000. Those are the sheds that the chief talked about last year, one in each of the emergency preparedness areas. Drop down two more lines, and you'll see the Diablo, the community shredder. We're budgeting for two shredding events again next year because that's been a very popular program. And then if you drop down one more line, it says DFSC matching grants. Sierra Wood has been a really outstanding fundraiser for the Diablo Fire Safe Council. And she's raised a tremendous amount of money for them. And we agreed a year ago that we would match the money that Kensington residents contribute to the Diablo Fire Safe Council up to $4,000. This coming year, we've agreed to go up to $5,000. We are the most common beneficiary of Diablo Fire Safe grants, and you can read on our website and read in our latest newsletter about the vegetation management grants that Diablo Fire Safe has authorized for Kensington to enable residents to better manage the vegetation at their homes. We also have the demonstration garden slotted in there. We've been working with the Community Services District that if they contribute the land, we'll contribute a lot of the know-how and the planting to put in a demonstration garden somewhere in Kensington Park to show people that if you properly manage vegetation in your home, it doesn't have to be all concrete. You can have very attractive landscaping that is, in fact, fire safe and drought resistant. We've also included the community sandbag program right underneath that, which has been a very popular program this year, where we put sandbags down here in the parking lot right below us, and people are able to use the sandbags to prevent flooding at their homes.
Because of El Nino.
Yeah, because of El Nino. District activities, I haven't circled anything to call your attention to. Let's see, the... If we look at page two now of our budget, you'll see the needs assessment feasibility study. We asked Don and slotted in $125,000 there. I believe the architectural study is $104,000, but there are going to be other professionals engaged, and that's why we moved it up to $125,000. So that's what gives us our total expenditures of $3.155 million. If you look at the bottom of page two here, those are our designated funds. We tend to operate like department store Christmas plans. We set the money aside every year so that when it's time to spend it, the money's there. So with our engine replacement funds are on the following page, the schedule for replacement of engines. A fire engine lasts 15 years, and in fact, insurance rating agencies require you to replace every 15 years, or you can't count the engine, and your insurance premiums would go sky high. So what we do is set aside 1/15th the cost of a fire engine every year, indexed for inflation, and you'll see that when we look at our Type 1 engine, because we just replaced it, the brand new engine that you guys have hopefully enjoyed seeing around town, and if you haven't, drop by the station and take a look at it. It's a real beauty. We're just starting our reserves on that one in fiscal year 16-17. So our current reserves are zero since we just paid for the brand new engine. And then over here on the right-hand side of the page is our Type 3 engine. And our Type 3 engine, its 15 years are going to run out in fiscal year 18-19. So if you look there, you'll see that in 18-19 we reached the magic number of 592-101, which should be enough to replace our Type 3 engine, so that number will be dropping to zero in 18-19. And then our third page here shows our schedule for replacement and renovation of the public safety building. And you'll see that as of the close of fiscal year 15-16, which is where we are right now, we have approximately $750,000 before we move this year's surplus into the building fund. Now, all of that is reflected on page 2 of the budget here, where it says designated funds, see attached schedules. You'll see that we have our engine replacement funds, where we're setting aside 1/15th of the cost of each engine, indexed for inflation. And then the public safety building fund, where we're setting aside that $100,000 indexed for inflation that over the last 20 years we've spent maintaining the building, the addition that we've put into it. And then we're showing here at the bottom what we started out with in terms of cash, what we have in the replacement funds, and also what we have in our retiree trust. It's the third line from the bottom here, prepaid CERBT trust, is because we have prepaid 100% of the health expenses of our retirees. So we're showing that here as our contribution. And then the next line there is our El Cerrito contract 12 months set aside. If you look at our contract with the city of El Cerrito, it requires us to set aside 1 year of our contract fee to the city of El Cerrito so that they have confidence that we are in fact financially capable of meeting our obligation to them. So when you start with our beginning cash and you subtract out our reserve funds for the building and the two engines, and subtract out the money that we literally can't touch because it's in a trust held by CalPERS, we don't get any money back from that until the last of our retired employees passes away. That money is irrevocable and untouchable until that time. You'll see that we're contemplating at the end of fiscal year 2016-2017, we're contemplating having unallocated funds of $888,000. Slightly less than $1 million, and less than a third, maybe 30%, approximately 30% of our budgeted expenditures is what we have as uncommitted reserves. So I'm happy to take any questions you have on that, but that's a quick and dirty summary of what our revenue budget and expense budget looks like. This is the first time the board as a whole looks at this. Don and I looked at this as the finance committee last week when we had our accountant there and our fire chief and the El Cerrito city manager. And I will say now, because I forgot to say earlier, we always tell Scott Hannon, the El Cerrito city manager, who does just an outstanding job, we always invite him to come to the meeting where we approve the El Cerrito city contract. But he has 3 sick relatives back home in New Jersey, so he was unable to join us tonight, and I hope you'll forgive his absence. But anyway, we adopt this preliminarily in June. We will adopt it again formally in September. And at our February meeting, we do our mid-year budget review, where we're going to take a look at this document again and see whether or not we're on target with our proposals here. Okay, so Don and I have seen it once already. You all are seeing it tonight. You'll see virtually the same document. There'll be some minor tinkering probably between now and September. You'll see it again with our 6-month mid-year budget review. And then this document is going to form the basis of the last column here of what are we going to see in fiscal year 2017-2018. So this is kind of a document that we continually reference to make sure we're on target. And it's a planning document, but it's not written in stone. The board obviously retains the ability to modify the budget, and occasionally we, in fact, do that in February. But I'm happy to take any questions you have on this. Looks like you have one, Larry.
Yes, yeah. I have a question. The line, the fourth line from the top, under outside professional services.
On page 1?
On page 1, yes.
Where are you? Okay.
CC County expenses of something over 30 grand a year. Is that what the county charges us to collect property taxes and then cut us a check for that? Or what is that expense?
I think that's up managing our money, isn't it?
It's all of that.
Yeah.
It's both of those. And
yeah.
It's also paying our monthly bills and...
Yeah.
Everything the county does for us.
It is, remember that we had the county come when we were talking about engaging Wells Fargo to manage our reserves?
Yes.
Because we get, I think, 1/3 of 1% if the county manages our reserves in Wells Fargo was going to be able to do significantly better. The county said if we went with Wells Fargo, they would do nothing for us. They wouldn't pay our bills. They wouldn't collect our taxes. But they did say that they would put us in some higher paying investments, albeit at a significantly higher fee than Wells Fargo. So what we did do is agree with Wells Fargo that we would go with the county for 1 year. And in large measure, we did that because Wells Fargo has several clients who have decided to walk away from the county and try doing things on their own and see how successfully they could do that and at what cost. And we thought we would benefit from someone else's experience rather than us being the guinea pig. So if all goes well, after a year, we can re-examine that contract with the county and hopefully save expenses and increase revenue. But we thought at the time, Larry, it was probably more prudent to stick with the county and have the county put us in higher yielding investments.
So
that's what we're in. Nothing's long term. Nothing's longer than 5 years.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Anything else? Yeah.
One quick question. I think I know the answer to it. The difference between the El Cerrito contract that the chief has explained and the amount in your budget?
I think it's Brenda. Isn't that the one where, Brenda is a half-time employee for us and a half-time employee for the city of El Cerrito, and our accountant has us reflect all of Brenda's salary, and then El Cerrito's reimbursement to that comes in the reconciliation in the contract fee with El Cerrito. So that's why there's a difference between the two numbers. You're right, you're very observant, it's not a typo. It's Brenda's salary, and it's basically standard accounting principles we're following there. It looks odd, but it is in fact correct, and that's the rationale.
It's half of Brenda's salary.
It's 1/2 of Brenda's salary is the differential, yeah.
Thank you.
And we still have our deal with El Cerrito where we're paying only half. So we have, in essence, what we have is 1 half-time employee. And all of our other employees are El Cerrito's employees. So the way our contract works is we own the building, we own the equipment, and we hire the chief to provide the personnel to staff it.
Any other questions?
Okay, seeing none, then I would propose the adoption of Resolution 16-05, which adopts the preliminary revenue, operating expense, and capital improvement budget for fiscal year 2016-17. And I'll note that word preliminary is in there because we'll adopt the final budget in September, mm-hmm. which sounds bizarre that you adopt the final budget 3 months after the beginning of the fiscal year, but that's in conformity with California statute.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Measure passes. On to board reports. I think we just heard your board report, Janice.
Our finance committee is not going to be meeting again. You see the minutes from our January 27th meeting because the minutes of our meetings don't come to the full board until they've been approved by the finance committee. And we generally meet in January prior to the full board's mid-year budget review. And then we meet every May to receive the contract proposal from the city of El Cerrito and to prepare and approve our preliminary budget. And then we may meet another time where we discuss something else, for example, whether or not we choose to go with Wells Fargo rather than the county for handling our investments. That's becoming a less pressing issue now that we're going to have much smaller reserves. Okay. It's going to be more borrowing than investing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Public safety, I think we've talked about that.
I think we covered that.
Okay. Education, Janice?
I took a great ride-along with Ciara Wood this afternoon, what she calls the Juniper Tour of Kensington, which is absolutely hair-raising in terms of a potential fire threat throughout the community because of how flammable junipers are. And so we didn't even go below the Arlington, and it was absolutely frightening. So we're going to be working closely with Ciara and the Diablo Fire Safety Council, not only on education, but on getting grants to help people remove some of that juniper and educate them about the need to do so, and more safe alternatives. So presumably, we're going to be talking to Lynn about it so we can get some coverage in the Outlook. We'll probably be featuring that in an upcoming issue of the Fireplug. And Ciara is going to be engaging a photographer to take pictures to show people what the real hazard is and why. Because I think, you know, the way Ciara explained it, you know, everybody landscaped their houses with junipers years ago because that's what Sunset Magazine recommended. It was cheap and low maintenance, and they weren't looking at the fire potential. And the fire potential is just extraordinary when you're thinking of a fire coming out of the canyon. So that's going to be our next big educational project, is educating people about the need to remove those junipers. Yeah, sure.
Add something for everyone's pleasure. Part of the reason the juniper removal is so important is that it has a lot to do with how we evacuate. And the juniper will burn very, very hot. We have banks of juniper up to houses. We have juniper in parking strips. So reducing the amount of juniper should make it easier for us to get out.
And away from the fire, yeah.
And away from the fire.
Correct. Thank you for adding that. That was another thing we were observing. The amount of juniper on the presumed exit routes out of the community would knock your socks off.
And everything in between.
Yeah.
I took a tour, but I had to walk.
Oh, I rode. Yeah. I guess I was special.
It was a little different. Yeah. We weren't looking at junipers. We were looking at other things.
Oh, you were looking at the ridge, I bet.
Actually, we're trying to come up with a grant proposal for Don's neighbors who own the property on Oberlin. It goes all the way through Wellesley, so that when you drive up Wellesley, the vegetation is coming over the curb into the street. So through Diablo Fire Safe Council, we're just looking at what might become another proposal from Kensington.
Okay, that's my old house, I believe we're talking about. Yeah.
Or the Kennedys, mm-hmm. probably.
Okay. Larry.
Yes, the minutes that you have in your packet are pretty much the hopefully are pretty much in agreement with the minutes that I presented at the last meeting, so I don't see any need to go over them. I did receive a notification from WAFCO that Mike McGill was reelected WAFCO representative from the county Special Districts Association. So that was a problem because they were not able to get a quorum. They had to do it
by mail, though.
Do it by mail. I dutifully mailed mine in with the same vote.
Do you have the date of your next meeting, Larry?
Excuse me?
Do you know the date of your next meeting?
The next meeting will be in
July, I bet.
July.
Hmm?
July.
Okay.
Is there any more on Diablo Fire Safe Council, or have we done that?
Just that all of the board members have received an invitation to the annual luncheon, which is going to be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope everybody who can goes.
I'll be there.
It's very informative. I don't know if our chief has given a presentation this time. He did last year.
No, I did last year. I'm not this year.
You're not this year. You're going to remain silent on this. Okay. But no, that's an excellent opportunity to speak with members of many different communities that are facing the same problems, namely a lot of fuel load and roads that are certainly not what we'd call freeways in terms of getting engines in or people out. And so we're all dealing with the same problem, and it's good to get the perspective of people from Sunol and people from the Oakland Hills and people from Moraga and all places around. So anybody that can make it, I'll see you there tomorrow.
Okay. I'm going to the Central Valley. It was 109 there yesterday.
Better you than me.
Yeah. let's see. The last thing is correspondence, and I guess there's a recognition of Firefighter Appreciation Day in there, and maybe that's about all.
Where are your emails?
And the eucalyptus trial.
Oh, and the eucalyptus. I didn't see the
email.
Yeah, there's a plethora of emails thanking the firefighters, which I thought was very nice from the community. And then there's an email from a resident on Kingston Road in regards to eucalyptus on their property and their concern. Since the email, I think in this packet, Chief Bond has been out with them, met with them, and pointed them in the direction of Diablo Fire Safe. They were originally positioned to start a campaign for complete eradication of the eucalyptus trees, and although that will make a community a lot safer, most organizations that go down that route have trouble. So your first steps of doing some beautification, fuel reduction, ladder fuels, hauling off of the dead and dying, those type of things are some gateway projects that can get you to a much safer community. This area is along Kingston Road, as I stated, and it's in the backyard and the creek drainage there on private property. So these individuals that have come forward, we're going to try to help and do the education process we do with everybody in the community, point them in the direction of grants and some things they can do to make their property safer.
Are they the ones that abut the cemetery? Are they backing up to the cemetery or no?
Yeah, I don't think they're that low, no.
Okay. Sunset is on the other side of
it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
When you go down Sunset, there are like all those little roads that stop. That's because the creek is between Kingston.
Okay.
It's
all
down
right.
in that ravine.
Okay, good. They block our view. Are we done?
I think so.
Okay. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.